Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge. It is Monday. I am so happy to be here. Just a reminder that you are listening to us on WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, out of Newnan. We are brought to you by Ivy Park Sports Bar and Grill, Christie's Cafe, and Local Grounds Coffee Company. On this show today, the brackets are set for high school basketball in the state of Georgia. First round games will take place tomorrow and the 22nd. And I will try to break down as much as I can. We have playoff games going on in the state of Alabama. And I'm also going to have Antoine Prather on the show. But we do have a great show for you, as NBA All-Star Weekend happened this past weekend. You had the Daytona 500. You have the XFL. And you also had some major college basketball games, as we have about a couple of weeks left in the regular season before we get into conference tournament play. And Eric Bieniemy has been named the offensive coordinator for the Washington Commanders. And what are the Chicago Bears going to do with the number one overall pick? There's talks about them trading the pick because they feel that they can get some draft picks and they really don't need a quarterback. So I've had a pretty busy weekend. On Thursday night and Friday night, I was going live on my Facebook page because I wanted to give the most updated high school basketball scores. I chose not to go to any games because I'm preparing myself to get ready to call boys and girls 1A state tournament play in Montgomery. And that's actually happening today. I have turned this show in early to the radio station because right now, as we speak, I should be calling high school basketball games over in the state of Alabama on the NFHS network. Here are some of the games that I will be calling. Starting with the girls, we have Atugaville taking on A.L. Johnson. Tip-off was earlier this morning. Then you have Lochapoca taking on University Charter. Over on the boys' side, you have Atugaville that's taking on R.C. Hatch. And then Lochapoca taking on Keith. I'm super excited about this opportunity, and I've asked Thrift Behringer if he wants to join me. I know he's got to do sports visions, but he's more than welcome to join me because we have called basketball games together, including the Muskogee County Christmas Tournament and Border Wars. And we've had a really good time calling the games. I feel that Thrift and I have pretty good chemistry when it comes to calling basketball. And I'm really blessed for this opportunity. Just a reminder that I'm going to have my live show tomorrow night, but it's going to be at the Columbus Civic Center. And then the Columbus Rapids will be in action at the Columbus Civic Center Wednesday, February the 22nd, as they will take on the Tampa Bay Strikers. The first game on the pitch will be at 6:15, and you can get your tickets at columbusrapids.com, or you can email Warren Fundevastasian or Amelia Salter, and they can hook you up with some tickets. Because I'm doing this show Saturday afternoon, I'm going to go ahead and recap some of the events that happened on Friday. You had the Columbus River Dragons. They blew a 3-1 lead, and they lose to the Delaware Thunder 4-3. And it was a very close competitive game. The River Dragons outshot the Thunder 58-23, but Delaware gets the game winner in overtime by Houston Wilson. But Columbus scored first on a goal by Austin Doe, and then the captain, Josh Pietrantonio, made it 2-0. Jacob Kelly, the leading goal scorer for the River Dragons, had a goal in the second period to make it 3-1, but Delaware came all the way back, tied it in regulation, and won the game in overtime. And the Columbus River Dragons currently are 28-6-3. They have two more games against the Delaware Thunder. I will try to get those updated on my show tomorrow. Like I said, I'm sending this show in early because I've got to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to head to the Crampton Bowl Multiplex to call four basketball games on President's Day Monday morning. So I'm actually doing this show, trying to get it as updated as possible, doing this show Saturday afternoon because I'm going to be at the River Dragons game on Saturday night. So I'll be at the River Dragons game. Sunday, I'm actually calling the Columbus, Georgia Vipers game as far as PA announcing. There's not a whole lot of sporting events happening Sunday. I'll make sure to have an updated show for Tuesday. So for this show, I'm going to have Antoine Prather on. We recorded an interview last week. He is not only going to be on the radio station once again like he was on Friday, but he is also going to be on my podcast. And make sure that you like and subscribe to my podcast. And he's also got a podcast called Tailgate Talk Podcast. Super busy with LaGrange Sports. Just does a phenomenal job. Speaking of LaGrange, they are in a tournament this weekend in Birmingham as they are taking on Birmingham Southern. I'll try to get a score update for that one as well. The LaGrange Panthers baseball team kicked off the 2023 regular season with a 5-0 victory over East Texas Baptist in a tournament in Birmingham, Alabama. And they got a 4-run eighth inning, and then they tacked on an extra run in the ninth. The winning pitcher for the LaGrange Panthers was Eduardo Peralta. He had 2 scoreless innings. Bailey Coleman was the starting pitcher, had 9 strikeouts. Bailey Coleman was one of those catalysts on the team last year. And the Panthers off to a good start. The catcher, David Smoleski, had 2 runs batted in. Rhett Mixon went 2-for-3 with 2 runs batted in. And they are taking on the Birmingham Southern Panthers right now. It's currently in the top of the first inning. And they're going to take on Millsaps on Sunday. They're back in action at Cleveland Field at Williamson Stadium on Wednesday, taking on Emory. And then they have a 3-game series next weekend taking on Rose Holman. So definitely am interested to see what the basketball team and the baseball team is doing for the LaGrange Panthers. Now let's talk about the LaGrange Lady Panthers taking on Agnes Scott. It is senior night. The CCS tournament will begin on Wednesday, the first round games. The Panthers basketball team is already set to play in the CCS tournament, although they don't know who their opponent is going to be. That game is going to tip off at 7 on Tuesday. So as I'm doing this show, some of the brackets in the GHSA state basketball championships for the boys and the girls have been set already. Let's go ahead and start with 4A. 4A, the Hardaway Lady Hawks, they are going to be in action taking on West Lawrence. Not sure if that's going to be on the 21st or the 22nd. We'll give you an update. Here's what's going to happen. They're going to host a game in the first round. If they win that game, they'll take on the winner of Fayette County and Islands, and they will host that game, which will take place either February 24th or 25th. So the GHSA will have a coin flip to determine who will have home court in the Elite Eight. The final 4 games for 4A will take place on the campus of Fort Valley State University on March the 4th, and tip-off is at 2 p.m. That is on Hardaway's side of the bracket. You have several other teams. Troop County is on the other side of the bracket. They are going to take on Burke County. They are a number 4 seed. Burke County is a number 1 seed. And then you have Trinity Christian is over in that bracket. Westover, remember, they finished 2nd behind the Hardaway Hawks that won 4A Region 1. So congratulations to the Hardaway Hawks for winning the region championship. On the same night, the Carver Lady Tigers won their region championship. They wrap up the number 1 seed, and they will take on Upson Lee on the campus of Carver High School either February 21st or 22nd. And the final 4 games will also be at Fort Valley State University as well. Looking at this bracket and seeing if there's any other teams that we are familiar with in 3A, that are also in this bracket, and I don't see anybody from the Chattahoochee Valley. Although Thomasville, they are the fourth seed. They're taking on Mary Persons. You have Cedar Grove that's taking on Lakeview. You got Monroe out of Albany that's taking on Jackson. Sandy Creek is taking on Adairsville. And Peach County is taking on Doherty. Now let's go over to 2A girls, where the Callaway Lady Cavaliers got the number three seed. They are taking on Kipp. That game is going to be on the road. So on their side of the bracket, you also have North Cobb Christian taking on Columbia. Eagles Landing Christian Academy is on the other side of the bracket, taking on Mount Perrin Christian. Pierce County is taking on Thompson. And then you have Washington taking on the Landmark Christian Lady War Eagles. I will try to make sure to get the most updated brackets as possible, but for all the local teams here in Columbus, on the girls' side, we pretty much know who all these teams are playing. On the other side, you have the Shaw Lady Raiders. They are going to travel on the road to take on Baldwin. You have Troop County going on the road to take on Burke County. You have Trinity Christian taking on Southeast Bullock. And then you have Westover that is taking on Howard. Stars Mill is taking on Wayne County. They are a number three seed. And so the brackets are pretty much set on the girls' side. But the Shaw Lady Raiders were able to win their third place game on Friday night, beating Bainbridge to lock up that number three seed. However, they will be on the road. Now, they would be at home if Troop County gets the upset, because Troop County is the number four seed. That's who they could possibly play in the second round. Let's go over to the boys' brackets. I'm going to start with 5A, because right now, as we speak, we still have some place games that will be happening right now. Harris County is taking on Northgate, and Northside is taking on McIntosh. Over in 4A, the boys, the Shaw Raiders, went down to Bainbridge, and they were able to get third place, and they will travel on the road to take on Perry. The winner of that game will take on the winner of Trinity Christian and Benedictine. Bainbridge, who was the most dominant team in Region 1 in 4A, they got upset by Westover. Westover is the number one seed, and they're going to take on Spalding. Bainbridge gets the number two seed. They're going to take on Westside. But over in the left quad of the bracket, you have Whitewater that's taking on Southeast Bullock. And the winner of that game would take on the winner of Spalding and Westover. The LaGrange Grangers, they get the number three seed, and they will travel to take on Burke County, the number two seed. And then you have Baldwin that's taking on the Syrup Makers of Cairo that got the number four seed. Baldwin is the number three seed. All right, 3A boys, the Carver Tigers were able to get the upset over Thomasville in the play-in game that allowed them to get into the playoffs. They did lose to Crisp County, but they are the number four seed, but they have a tall task ahead of them as they will take on Upson Lee. Hopefully, they can have a good showing, and let's see if they can pull off the upset. How sweet would that be if the Carver Tigers were able to get the upset against Upson Lee? Mary Persons of Forsyth is taking on Doherty, and then you have Douglas taking on Lakeview. Over on the other side of the bracket, some of the notable games. Ringgold is taking on Sandy Creek. I mean, why wouldn't Sandy Creek be a number one seed? They did have Jabari Smith Jr. They had a great season this year. Crisp County, that got the number three seed after beating Carver in the third place game, is going to go on the road to take on Jackson. You got Peach County that's taking on Monroe. That is going to be on the road. And we still have some brackets that have not been decided yet.
Congratulations to the Spencer Green Wave for getting the 69-61 victory over Central of Macon. And the Green Wave win 2A Region 2. They will be a number one seed in the playoffs. Their overall record is 23-4. and they will host Cook County in the first round of the 2A GHSA state playoffs. The Spencer Green Wave trying to go back-to-back as state champions for now 2A. They were in 4A last year. If they can advance, they will take on the winner of Butler and Tattnall County, and they could be hosting a playoff game in the second round that's either going to be on February 24th or 25th. Now, if they could advance to the Elite Eight, which is going to take place on February 28th and March the 1st, let's say Providence Christian, out of that bracket, makes it to the Elite Eight, well, the team that gets home court will be determined on a GHSA coin flip. So there is a possible chance that the Spencer Green Wave could be hosting three playoff games in the 2A bracket before they get to the Final Four, which will take place on March the 4th at Georgia College and State University. The championship game for 2A, you'll mark your calendars because I feel that the Spencer Green Wave could make it all the way to the championship game. March the 9th at 3 p.m. at the Macon Complex. Throwing that out there right now because I witnessed history last year listening to them on the radio clinch and win the state championship last year for 4A, and I think that the Spencer Green Wave can do it this year.
The Northside boys lose on a buzzer beater to McIntosh, and McIntosh completes the three-game sweep over the Northside Patriots. It was a heartbreaker, but Northside does get the number two seed, which guarantees that they will host a playoff game in the first round of the state tournament. Carver and Shaw will be on the road, but let's go ahead and break down the brackets for the GHSA state playoffs. The first round will start February 21st and 22nd. The second round will be February 24th and 25th. Elite Eight will be February 28th and March 1st. The Final Four will take place March the 3rd and the 4th, and the championship games will be spread out throughout the week of March the 8th through the 11th. We're going to start with 5A, as the Northside Patriots will host Lithonia in the first round of the tournament. We also have Harris County that they lost the third place game. They will get the number four seed, but they will travel on the road to take on Decatur. 4A boys, you have the LaGrange Grangers that won the third place game. They have the number three seed, but they will travel on the road to take on Burke County, and they will await the winner of Cairo and Baldwin. The Shaw Raiders got the number three seed. They will be on the road to take on the number two seed, Perry, and they will await the winner of Trinity Christian and Benedictine. 3A boys, because the Carver Tigers got the upset over Thomasville in the region tournament, they are the number four seed. They did lose to Crisp County in the third place game, but they will travel on the road to take on the number one seed, Ubson Lee. 2A boys, the Spencer Green Wave, they will host Cook in the first round, and if they can win that game, they will host another game between the winner of Butler and Tattnall County. Now, if they make it all the way to the Elite Eight, the number one seed, if they advance on the other side of the bracket, the home court will be determined by a coin flip. Looking at the top left part of the bracket, the Callaway Cavaliers, they get the number three seed. They will be on the road to take on Washington. Landmark Christian got the number four seed, and they're going to be on the road to take on South Atlanta. Now let's go over to the 5A girls, where the Northside Lady Patriots end up winning Region 3. They are the number one seed, and they will host Lithonia. Meanwhile, Harris County, the Lady Tigers, were the runners-up in the region. They will host Chambly. They are the number two seed. Northgate ends up getting the number four seed. They're going to be on the road taking on Decatur. And McIntosh is the number three seed. They are going to be on the road taking on Arabia Mountain. 4A girls, the Hardaway Lady Hawks will host West Lawrence on Tuesday, tip-off at 6 p.m. as they won Region 1. The Shaw Lady Raiders get the number three seed. They're going to travel to Milledgeville to take on Baldwin.
The Troup County Lady Tigers get the number 4 seed. They are going to be on the road taking on Burke County. 3A girls, the Carver Lady Tigers end up winning Region 1. They will have a number 1 seed and they will host Upson Lee. 2A girls, the Callaway Lady Cavaliers will be on the road as they have the number 3 seed. They are going to travel to take on Kip. The Spencer girls were able to get their third place game last weekend, beating Ace Charter, but they will travel on the road to take on the Purple Hurricane of Fitzgerald. Let's go to the GIAA playoffs for the girls. In 4A, the St. Ampicelli Lady Vikings have the number 6 seed. They will host the number 11 seed, Bethlehem Christian Academy. First Presbyterian Day is one of 4 teams with a first round bye. And if they can beat Bethlehem Christian Academy in the first round, they will travel to Macon to take on First Presbyterian Day. The Brookstone Lady Cougars have the number 7 seed, and they are hosting Mount DeSales Academy. And if they're able to win that game, they will travel to take on Bullock Academy. GIAA Class 4A Boys, the St. Ampicelli Vikings have the number 2 seed. They have a first round bye, and they await the winner of Brookstone Bethlehem Christian Academy. Brookstone is hosting this game, and we may get a second round matchup of St. Ampicelli and Brookstone once again. Stratford Academy is the overall number 1 seed in this bracket, but the St. Ampicelli Vikings know that that's going to be a neutral site game if they make it all the way to the championship. The championship game will take place in Macon on March the 4th. And you're probably wondering, why is Heritage not in this bracket? Well, St. Ampicelli's region consists of some 4A schools and some 3A schools. Heritage is actually got a bye over in the 3A bracket. So let's go over to the 3A bracket for the boys, shall we? And Southland Academy, out of Americus, is a number 4 seed. They have a bye. Heritage is the number 3 seed. They will await the winner of Frederica Academy and Pinewood Christian. Now let's wrap things up with the GAPPS basketball brackets. The 3A boys, however, the Calvary Christian Knights season came to an end in the quarterfinals, losing to Valor Christian 74-47. But the Lady Knights are still alive in this thing with a chance to make it to the state championship in the GAPPS. I had the privilege to see Calvary Christian Knights and Lady Knights in the Border Wars when I helped call those games with Thrift Behringer. And let's look at Division 1 3A girls. Calvary Christian was able to get the win over the Kings Academy 45-34 in the quarterfinals. And now they are in the semifinals games. This will be held at Creekside. They are taking on Konos Academy. So this is going to be taking place on the campus of Creekside Christian Academy in McDonough, Georgia, with one more win away, making it to the state championship for the GAPPS on the campus of Ace Charter in Macon. That championship game would take place on February the 25th. So the Calvary Christian Lady Knights, the number 2 seed that beat the number 1 seed, and now they get to take on Konos Academy. They're on a mission to try to win a state championship. It'd be another state championship for Calvary Christian. The baseball coach, Steve Smith, has got 4 of these. And Calvary Christian is no stranger to winning championships at the GAPPS level. The Calvary Christian Lady Knights have had an incredible 17-6 season with a 7-1 record in region play. Good luck to Coach Susie Dunn. She has been just a phenomenal coach, has an incredible career of coaching at the highest level, and she wants to win that state championship for the Lady Knights. The Columbus State Cougars and Lady Cougars were in action Saturday as they traveled up to Dahlonega to take on the University of North Georgia. The Lady Cougars fell 87-59, and Columbus State is now 14-10 overall, 8-8 in the Peach Belt. North Georgia extends their record to 17-8 overall, 9-7 in the Peach Belt. The Lady Cougars were led by Amelia Tenbrock's 18 points and 9 rebounds, and they will host South Carolina Aiken at the Lumpkin Center this Wednesday afternoon. The Columbus State Cougars men's basketball team fell to the University of North Georgia 92-81. Columbus State is now 14-12 overall, 7-9 in the Peach Belt. North Georgia extends their record to 20-4 overall, 13-3 in the Peach Belt. And Columbus State was led by the leading scorer, Jelani James. Columbus State will also be in action on Wednesday at the Lumpkin Center, taking on South Carolina Aiken. The Columbus State baseball team has won 8 straight in a row, including a walk-off win over Flagler 4-3 on Friday. They were down by 3 runs in the bottom of the 6th inning. And then they come back on Saturday and they get a 9-8 victory over Flagler. Flagler's yet to win a game, but Flagler did put up 5 runs in the 9th to make it interesting. But the Columbus State Cougars were able to get the victory thanks to 3 runs batted in by Derek Weil. Remember, he was the hero in Friday's game with the 2 RBIs. And Ian Keene also had 2 RBIs. The home runs, Derek Weil, that's his 2nd of the season. Trace Twardowski, who got the game-winning run in the extra innings game on Friday. And then Ian Keene, the catcher, with the home run as well. The winning pitcher is Logan Seehafer, the Columbus Chattahoot, and Colton Joyner started the game. He gave up 1 earned run, 7 innings pitched, 10 strikeouts. The Columbus State Cougars baseball team will be in action against Flagler for the final time at Burger King Stadium at Ragsdale Field. Then they will travel to Montgomery, Alabama on Wednesday to take on Auburn University at Montgomery. Their next 3-game series in the Peach Belt will be up at Lander this weekend. So check out the action, if you can, on the PBC Network and Cougar Sports TV. The LaGrange Lady Panthers just broke a record for the overall wins in a regular season with 19-6, 13-3 in conference play. They were able to beat Agnes Scott on senior night 77-51, and then they will host Covenant on Wednesday in the CCS quarterfinals, trying to get their 20th victory, and the Lady Cougars trying to punch their ticket to the NCAA D3 tournament. The Cougars, they will start CCS conference play on Tuesday as they will host Covenant in the first round of the CCS conference tournament. They were 15-10 overall, 7-5 in conference play. Good luck to the Panthers and the Lady Panthers this season as they start conference play. So the LaGrange baseball team, they also lost to Birmingham Southern 9-5, and they will take on Millsaps later this afternoon. NBA All-Star Weekend, Dame Lillard wins the 3-point shootout contest. Mac McClung wins the slam dunk contest, and I don't agree with this. I think you need to be playing in the NBA in order to enter into the slam dunk contest. Now, don't get me wrong, his dunks were amazing. They went viral. But he's only played in 2 games in his NBA career. He is a G League player. He hasn't even played 1 single game in the NBA this year. I know that the Philadelphia 76ers signed him to a 10-day contract. He was wearing a Sixers jersey, and he did put on a show. But if you're going to have players in the dunk contest, you need to have NBA players, known NBA players, that actually play a lot of minutes. And look, I'm sorry, maybe I'm a purist. Maybe I think this dunk contest has been watered down and not the best dunkers have entered. I'm not saying that Mac McClung put on a show. He did. But he's not an NBA player. He's a G League player. What, you just making G League, now all of a sudden G League players can enter in the dunk contest? The XFL, we had some games on Saturday, and we had some games on Sunday. The Arlington Renegades came back in the first XFL game in 3 years to defeat the Vegas Vipers 22-20. And then you had the Houston Roughnecks that beat the Orlando Guardians 33-12. So Saturday night was special at the Columbus Civic Center. It was military night. The Columbus River Dragons were taking on the Delaware Thunder, which they took 2 out of 3 in this rare 3-game series that wrapped up yesterday. But it was special because the River Dragons set an attendance record at the Columbus Civic Center with 7,364. It was the first sellout in River Dragons history. And the Columbus River Dragons were able to get the shutout victory over the Delaware Thunder 9-0. The coolest moment of Saturday night was when the public address announcer Dana Barker got all the soldiers that's doing training at Fort Benning, which that site looked incredible, by the way. They had the entire right section to the right of Dana, and they stood at the position of attention and recited the Soldier's Creed. I got some video of it because it was breathtaking. But if you look at the Civic Center, and a lot of fans were doing panoramic views, where the press box is, where I normally call Rapids games, to the right of me, when I'm calling a Rapids game, that whole right side had nothing but fatigues. That was an incredible sight to see. Now, I admit, my wife and I went to the game, and we did not stop and get something to eat first. We almost waited about an hour in line to get food. I admit that. We missed practically the first period, but the second period was incredible. Jay Krupp scores a couple of goals. He is closer to his milestone of 100 career goals in his long and incredible hockey career. And the Columbus River Dragons are 36-3. They will travel down to Biloxi, Mississippi for just one game on February 24th. They're back in action at the Columbus Civic Center on the 3rd and the 4th of March, taking on the Beamington Black Bears. Your leading goal scorers for your Columbus River Dragons, Jacob Kelly. He's got 32 goals with 54 points, followed by Alex Storjahan with 21 goals, 31 assists. Jay Krupp has got 15 goals, and he is just 6 goals away from a huge milestone of 100 goals. The River Dragons have the best record in the Federal Prospects Hockey League. They have one goal in mind: to hoist that Commissioner's Cup championship on their home ice. They're trying to get home ice so they can actually clinch it at home. College basketball action over the weekend. Here are some of the games. We had an upset as Auburn falls to Vanderbilt in Nashville by a score of 67-65. And Auburn is now 18-9 overall. They are starting to look like a bubble team. The Alabama Crimson Tide are making a strong case to get a number one seed after they dismantled the Georgia Bulldogs at Coleman Coliseum 108-59. The Crimson Tide are now 23-4 overall. Georgia falls to 16-11. Georgia is in danger of missing out on the NIT. Brandon Miller led the Crimson Tide with 21 points. And even though they'll fall in the rankings because they lost to Tennessee, the new AP poll will come out on Tuesday. And I think Houston will be the new number one because you only have 2 losses. Houston's been the most consistent team all year. The big game Saturday that featured 2 top 10 teams was Baylor visiting Lawrence Fieldhouse, taking on the Kansas Jayhawks. Baylor lost the game 87-71, but that wasn't the story. They were up as many as 14, but Kansas outscored Baylor in the second half 55-26. Talk about making halftime adjustments, and the defending NCAA champions are pleading a case to get a number one seed. I still think they have to win the Big 12 to get a number one seed. If there are two teams in the Big 12 that could both get number one seeds, I would have to say it is Kansas and Texas. Texas survived Oklahoma. Kentucky gets the season sweep over the Tennessee Volunteers. I think that Tennessee played their way out of a number one seed. Local teams in action in Georgia. Kennesaw State, after getting a big win over Liberty on Thursday, they fall to Queens at home 83-76. The Mercer Bears lose at home to Western Carolina 71-68. And they are now 12-17 overall. Just not a good day for Georgia teams. Yeah, Georgia State lose to Arkansas State in Jonesboro 75-70. And Georgia Southern loses to Southern Miss 73-62. However, one bright spot was that the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets defeated Florida Tech 79-56 in a non-conference game. Not sure why they're playing Florida Tech this late in the season, a Division II school taking on Georgia Tech. Team LeBron lost to Team Giannis 184-175 in the All-Star game at Salt Lake City. They had the Elam ending, first to 182 wins. The fourth quarter untimed. I kind of like those rules. Jason Tatum had 55 points. His teammate for Team LeBron, but plays for the Boston Celtics, had 35 points. The Georgia Vipers were in action at the KBW Gymnasium Sunday afternoon as they defeated the Madison County Mambas to go to 12-1 in the regular season. Anthony Daniels was the leading scorer with 26 points. And I was privileged to not only attend my first Columbus Georgia Vipers game, but they also let me be the public address announcer. And that was a very awesome experience. And they are a good team, a fast and running team with a lot of great players. And I wish them the best of luck the rest of the season. The XFL games on Sunday, we had the St. Louis Battlehawks and A.J. McCarron as their quarterback coming back to defeat the San Antonio Brahmas on the road. And then the D.C. Defenders get a 22-18 victory over the Seattle Dragons. I like the XFL. I liked it 3 years ago. I think it's going to be a good product that's going to be here to stay. And when the XFL season ends, we get USFL. And so football fans that are kind of bummed out because we don't have football after the Super Bowl, this was a great way to just still watch football. And I love it. All right, I think it's about that time to bring on Antoine Prather. He is a host of a podcast called Tailgate Talk Podcast. We'll be right back with Antoine. Don't want to go anywhere. Antoine is coming on the show next. All right, everybody, I got Antoine Prather. He is a host of a podcast called Tailgate Talk Podcast, and he covers everything LaGrange College, pretty much covering everything in Troup County. Antoine, how you been?
Doing well, Richard. Glad to be back on the show again. Thanks for having me.
Yes, I'm glad that you are on the show because the LaGrange College Panthers and Lady Panthers, in their inaugural season in the Central Collegiate of the South Conference, the LaGrange Lady Panthers, we're going to start with them because they have had a pretty good season. They have had the most wins in program history, I believe, and they're about to start their tournament play. Same with the LaGrange Panthers. But how impressed have you been so far for the Panthers and Lady Panthers basketball teams?
Yeah, absolutely. So basketball season has been really, really successful for us this winter. As far as just speaking on the women's basketball team, they're led by head coach Jason Jonas. He's in his third season here at LaGrange College, and they're 18-6 on the season. They went 12-3 in the conference. They will finish conference play up on Saturday at a home game against Agnes Scott. So if anybody who hasn't checked out the Panthers this year, you have one more opportunity. So they'll finish up conference play before they start the conference tournament next week. And then as far as the men are concerned, they are led by head coach Kendall Wallace. Coach Wallace has been here on the hill for quite some time. And speaking to his squad this year, they were at one point tied for the lead or leading the conference. They've had a little bit of a skid of late, but they 7-5 in the conference, 15-10 overall, and they will. Their regular season has ended. They finished up last night, and they will go into the conference tournament also next week. So very, very successful regular seasons, and I know both teams are looking for a successful conference tournament, hopefully to bring home a championship trophy.
The LaGrange Lady Panthers have a very special freshman guard, Layla Battle. Have you had a chance to see her at the Mariotti Gymnasium?
I have. I've had an opportunity to see Layla Battle play a number of times, and yes, indeed, she is very special. And only being a freshman, when you're talking about someone who just not afraid to shoot from anywhere on the court, you know, she from long range. I mean, she's going to shoot it. So she's had a very, very, very good freshman year, and I'm just looking forward to see how the Panthers continue. And how they will end the season, but also continue to see how she progresses over her next few years here at LaGrange College.
Okay, the Panthers, they dropped a heartbreaker to Covenant on the road, led by Kyle Smith's 18 points, but Covenant came back and had a 22-5 run and sinked some threes to win the final regular season game in the Collegiate Conference of the South before the LaGrange Panthers go into tournament play. But they've had a pretty decent season, 15-10 overall, 7-5 in the CCS. But what has stood out for you watching the Panthers as they get ready for conference play next week?
Yeah, I mean, they have definitely, they're led by and senior guard Brashard Edwards. I mean, He leads the charge for that team. He just eclipsed 1,000 points for his career, so he definitely is a leader for that team. Him along with fellow senior Zach Hill, both of those players are all conference guys, but they definitely have a few young guys in there that are contributing also. Kyle Smith's in significant playing time this year. He's had a really good season. Also, a couple of freshmen of late, like Brody Scott. I mean, he's been a freshman who's contributed. You also have another guard in Jace Harrell, who's been able to take advantage of his opportunity to get on the court. So, I mean, this team is – I mean, they have struggled of late, losing their last two to last second shot. So, I mean, I know Coach Wallace will have them ready and prepared as they host their first round matchup in the conference tournament, ready to kind of put all that behind them because it as you always hear, it's a new season when you're talking about postseason play. So, I'm excited to see how they kind of overcome the adversity that they kind of ended the regular season with and see if they can conquer a conference championship.
All right, Antoine, let's talk about the LaGrange baseball team, the 5-time consecutive USA South champions, the D3 College World Series made an appearance. They finished 4th last year, just an incredible run. And now they're back in a new conference, the Collegiate Conference of the South. They are a preseason number 3. And unfortunately, they did fall. You know, I'm looking at some of the scores. They actually will take on East Texas Baptist. This is going to be at 4 p.m. at Cleveland Field at Williamson Stadium. I hope I get that right. But, I mean, you expect to see a big turnout for that. I mean, because you got a lot of people in this community that want to get out to the diamond and see LaGrange baseball because, you know, not only they have their best player coming back, Joe Ruth, but they got a young team of a lot of people with championship pedigree. And I expect to see a lot of fans out at the ball field supporting the LaGrange Panthers this year.
Well, actually, Richard, I know. So actually, they will actually begin their season over in Birmingham. So it's a tournament style.
Oh, okay. So the schedule saying it's a home game.
All right.
So they'll begin their season tomorrow over in Birmingham. So they will play three different opponents this weekend. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But they do open the season with East Texas Baptist. And then they have a very big matchup against Birmingham Southern, which is the number four ranked team in the country. And then they'll end this weekend with Millsap. So, I mean, they're hitting the gates early with some tough opponents. So, I mean, they'll be tested early on. And
Emory,
that's definitely what Coach David Kelton wanted to do, is get some tougher opponents on the schedule and trying to see truly how this team and this makeup of this team will be, because everybody is so proud of what the team was able to do last year. But as he's always stated, this is a new year, this is a new team. So this team hasn't done anything yet. So I'm excited to see what their guys are able to do on the diamond this season.
I'm excited to see this roster for the LaGrange Panthers. They do have a Columbus Chattahoochee player, Ashton Shackelford. I think he's back. And then they signed a player from the LaGrange Grangers. And I had Coach Donnie Moore on, and he had just an incredible run to the state championship last year. And, you know, trying to pull up the roster now. But, you know, they got some good players back, and I'm going to be following the Panthers all season long. And by the way, Antoine, so this show is on WQEE in Noonan, which is the flagship station for LaGrange Athletics.
It absolutely is. So we're LaGrange College is definitely excited to have that partnership with them. It's something that's come along of recently. So definitely excited about that partnership. But like you said, speaking of the roster, I mean, there is definitely a lot of local pool, a lot of local talent that'll be on this roster. Some familiar names from last year would be, I mean, starting pitchers like Bailey Coleman and Dalton Brooks, but also the All-American Joe Roof. So, I mean, you definitely lost some talent, but you had a lot of talent coming back, and you'll definitely fill some of those holes with some of the transfers and freshmen of this year. So it'll definitely be interesting to see some of the new names and new faces who step up as the season progresses.
They had such an incredible run last year, 44-9. However, they did fall to Central Connecticut in the D3 College World Series. I hope I'm getting that right. Yeah, Central Eastern Connecticut State in the College World Series last year. And, you know, they finished fourth last year. I mean, they did win the series against Trinity. And then, you know, they go to East Central Connecticut, and they dropped both games there. But they were able to get past Trinity, and they were able to win a series in the D3 College World Series. But, you know, just that incredible run, you know, in the super regional and the regional, to host the regional, to beat Chapman the way they did. I watched those games on Panthers Live, you know, to beat Sanitary and to beat, you know, North Carolina Wesleyan, to win the USA South last year the way they did. And then, unfortunately, tragedy struck them. And that was not easy. I think that was the toughest decision they had to make. Was, do we cancel the season or do we continue playing on? And I know that the two players that were killed in the car accident would want them to play on.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, nobody's ever going to forget about number 4 and number 44, you know. Those who barred it, Bartolota and also Jacob Brown, they're entrenched in LaGrange College forever, you know, and I mean, that was definitely a tragedy that happened on that Saturday night. And, I mean, they're definitely in their honor. I mean, we planted some trees over by Cleveland Field in their honor, had both of their families on campus. And so Coach Kelton has done a great job of doing whatever it takes to not forget about Jacob Brown and Stephen Bartolota.
Antoine, I know that you stay busy all year long with LaGrange football, basketball, baseball, softball. We also got LaGrange soccer, lacrosse. And, you know, when we have high school football coming up, we have three amazing programs, LaGrange, Troup County, and Callaway. And you pretty much, you cover this area, Troup County. And do you get over in East Alabama, over in the Valley Lynette area? You've heard about these Valley Rams that are undefeated, still undefeated, and could possibly make a deep run in the state playoffs over in Alabama?
I definitely have. I mean, I'm familiar with some of their guys they have over there. I mean, I've seen them through the years as far as just some of the athletes that they have coming out of Valley. I'm definitely familiar with them. They're having a very, very good year, still undefeated on the year. So I know it's a exciting time for that community. So I'm looking staying tuned to see how far they're able to make it and see if they're able to bring a state championship back to their community.
And right now the LaGrange Grangers are in the tournament against Whitewater. And unfortunately, Callaway's season came to an abrupt end, losing to Redan. I still think they can make the state playoffs. It's weird. And in the state of Georgia, if you're in the top four of your region, and some of these regions only have five teams, you make the playoffs. And so we'll see what the brackets look like for the state playoffs next week. I expect to see LaGrange there, and maybe Callaway. You know, Troup County had a tough season. They did beat North Clayton in the play-in game, but they did lose to LaGrange the other night. But I like your work. I mean, you stay busy and, you know, just keeping up with all this stuff going on. I mean, you're about as busy as Kevin Eckleberry.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have my juggling a lot of different things right now. And I wanted to touch on this just a bit, just speaking on just LaGrange College and some of the things we have going here. I'm not sure, but I just recently hired a new football coach in Wes Dotson. So,
oh, that's right.
It's definitely an exciting time on campus right now with the new era and the new regime and what he will bring to campus. So definitely looking forward to the fall and seeing what the team will look like. I know they're busy right now recruiting and trying to finish up on some recruiting, get some guys in here. So definitely an exciting time for just LaGrange College football also.
Is there a scheduled spring game for LaGrange College?
So for Division III, you're not allowed spring games. They will do spring practice, but you're not allowed a spring game. So what they'll do is they'll go through their typical spring practices or whatever, but they won't have like a glorified scrimmage, a spring game per se. But what they do get the opportunity to do is when they resume practices back in the fall, they will be able to have a scrimmage against another opponent at that point. So that is the opportunity that they will have to kind of go against someone else in a different jersey.
Antoine, it's always a pleasure having you on the show. Just look forward to seeing your work and looking forward to catching up and seeing what the LaGrange Panthers are doing this season. And just keep up the good work. You do just an amazing job of just covering LaGrange College.
Well, definitely appreciate it, Richard. Once again, my pleasure for being able to jump on, find some time and my busy schedule. So, definitely thank you for allowing me to come on your show.
All right. Antoine Prather, host of a podcast called Tailgate Talk Podcast, covering LaGrange College football, basketball, baseball, you name it. Hey, they play beach volleyball at LaGrange College. He's probably covering that too. That's awesome. I love seeing all that stuff on LaGrange's Facebook page. But yeah, you take care.
All right. Thank you, Richard.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for watching and listening to another show of the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge.